Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But let's figure out before we get into all the weekend stuff coming up before the end of the show. Of course, we'll do big movie, not a big movie. You know how we roll. Let's see what's on tap for the weekend with Dolphins training camp. Let's talk to Adam Beasley from the Herald joining us here. Adam, hey, can you hear us okay? Good morning.
You know, you could leave the studio and make it in time for 9:40 start training camp.
I mean, I could also just go home and live my life.
I like your option better.
So let's get into a little bit of what's going on. Now, first of all, Amber and I were mentioning, it looked like a great turnout from the Dolphin fan yesterday. Was that the case?
Yeah, the first sign that it was going to be a good day, I rolled in around 45 minutes before the start of practice, and they were probably 100 deep in line waiting to get in. So anybody who wants to get in line before a very hot practice, you know they're real fans. I think it was like camp day yesterday. There were, three or four camps that seemed to be there, and it was packed, man. It was rowdy. It was fun. They were oohing and on to the big catches and the big throws and all that. And it was fun. It felt like football, and it was good to see, particularly because you just don't know how this market's going to react to this team this year. You don't know if they're going to buy in with a long-term rebuild or just tune the team out this year. Yesterday was a good first sign that, hey, maybe people will stick around.
Well, and I was reading yesterday, you know, from the president, Tom Garfinkel. He was saying that ticket sales are essentially the same as they've been the last couple of years, that you know, every game's going to be a sellout once again. And, that's obviously a good sign. Tell me here, though, as far as Brian Flores is concerned, okay, do you have any initial feel for what the players think of him, first impression kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, they certainly are buying into what he's selling, which is the important first step. Now, the caveat is not a single down in a single regular season game has yet been played, and every coach at this stage of their career has a honeymoon, and even Cam Cameron, I think, had to sport of the locker room before the season even began. But I think Brian Flores is a little different because he is – not only is he a straight shooter, I think he is more business than they've had in a while. Philbin, although he tried to be all business, you knew he wasn't a real tough guy. And Gase, I mean, he was – it was the Wild West. I mean, a lot of players loved him for it, but it was not all business in Miami. I think we have some pretty clear evidence, including a offensive line coach doing drugs off his desk in his office, that things were wrong in that building. Flores, I may have been a hire to correct those past mistakes, but he is a serious, serious dude. He is an accountable guy, and I think players like that. They like honesty. They don't want it sugar-coated, and they also don't want players playing who don't deserve to play. And that's why I think this quarterback competition is so important. It's going to be really his first test with his locker room. Because right now, we've all seen it. Ryan Fitzpatrick is ahead. He is better than Josh Rosen. But we also know the Dolphins want to have information on Josh Rosen before the 2020 draft, decide whether or not they need to take a quarterback. So if the Dolphins try to force Rosen into the lineup, particularly early in the season when, you know, in theory the playoffs are still a possibility, that's going to turn a lot of players off. So that's his first big test. Can he stick to it? And if Fitzpatrick is really the best player, play him week one, long-term consequences be damned.
We'll talk more about the quarterback controversy in a second, but yesterday Zaslow and I were guessing whether Brian Flores was nervous yesterday for his first day of camp. Do you think we disagreed on whether he would be, whether we would be in that spot if we were him? Do you think he would have been nervous going into camp yesterday?
He was asked about it. He said, no, I'm excited. I'm not nervous. I don't know if any coach would admit to being nervous before the first day of training camp.
Right. Yeah.
I know he's cautious. I think cautious is the right way to view the lens through which to view whatever he says, because he doesn't want to give information to his friends in New England. He doesn't want to give information to the former coach of the Miami Dolphins in New York. And Buffalo, we have to consider them a real team too, so he doesn't want to give information to them either. So he's going to be really careful with what he says when it comes to injuries, when it comes to lineups, when it comes to anything that could hurt them competitively. So I think that's one thing he's going to have to work through. What's his comfort zone to dealing with us in the media in a way that's helpful to us but not it doesn't hurt the organization. But I don't think he was nervous. I think he was pumped up. I think he was excited. There, as I mentioned, there's going to be adversity. Every single season has two or three major storylines nobody saw coming. And hopefully it's not as bad as losing a quarterback or, we mentioned, our offensive line coach or something like that. But there will be adversity comes up, and that's how I'm going to judge this season. How do players develop, and how do they improve, and how do they handle adversity?
We got Adam Beasley from the Herald here with us talking some Dolphins training camp as the second day of training camp gets going about an hour from now. We'll bring you into this bit of news here as well. Adam, I don't know if you were aware that this was about to happen or that it has happened, but it's being reported all over now that Allen Hurns has agreed to a one-year deal, $3 million with the Dolphins. Okay, so I figured, that's a no-brainer to me, okay? When he was released a few days ago from Dallas, I was hoping the Dolphins would give it a look. They did yesterday, and apparently they liked what they saw enough as far as his recovery from the leg injury last year in the playoffs that they've signed him to Allen Hurns right now, former Jaguar, former Cowboy, Miami Hurricane, of course, 1 year, $3 million. Give me some thoughts there.
Yeah, that news must have broken in the time that you've called me because it's the first I've heard of that. And I'm all for acquiring as much talent as you can. It's a little surprising they're doing it at that position group because it seems to me that's one of the deepest groups they've had. They have. Is Allen Hurns even going to be their number three receiver? Perhaps not. He'll probably battle Jakeem Grant for the number four spot. But, I like the idea of what they're doing this year. This entire year is about hoarding distressed assets, getting as many low-risk, high-reward players as possible on your roster. I think that's how you need to view the Josh Rosen trade. A lot of these, former high draft picks they've brought in who didn't really pan out in their first team, that's what they're doing there. And Hurns, another example. He was really good at times for the Cowboys. And if not for that pretty gruesome leg injury he had in the playoffs, he probably would have either stayed there or gotten a payday from somebody else. Kind of a tough luck situation that he was released so late in the summer. A lot of teams already had their roster set. But good for the Dolphins to jump on it, and we'll see what he's got. I guess he'll be out there at practice today.
Raekwon McMillan started every game last season, and we heard that yesterday he was practicing with the twos. Do you make anything of that, or do you think Flores is just sort of moving pieces around right now?
No, I 100% make something of that. I think that's a message sent. I think it's showing that there are no, as in his words, sacred cows. This is a guy that was, this time last year talked about as the leader in the middle of the defense, making the calls and an ascending player and all that. And we saw he had trouble in pass coverage. He just didn't do that very well. Flores and company have seen the same tape that we've seen, and they're going to give Sam Egelvon, who could be their new CFL Cam Wake star.
That's who I was going to ask you about, because I was going to say I've never even heard of this guy. Who is he?
Yeah, I went to Texas Tech, out of football altogether in 2015, and then played, I think, three seasons in Saskatchewan, which I cannot identify on the map. I wonder if you guys can, but I certainly can't.
Great province.
But he, good. So he is going to have a chance to go and play and maybe even start for this team, and I think that's great. If I were Raekwon McMillan, I'd be very concerned right now as to what my long-term viability is, particularly in the starting lineup. And, he's in year three now, had that knee injury in year one, didn't really impress in year two. It could be make or break time. I'm not saying he's not going to make the team this year, but as they look to build their roster for the future, they're trying to figure out who's going to be part of this thing for the long term. And if McMillan can't beat a CFL dude who's been here for 5 minutes, that's a bad sign.
And what about Christian Wilkins?
I don't know. The trenches are so hard to judge right now
because
they're not wearing pads. But we'll see. Sunday's a big day. The pads come on.
Let's move then to Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, you mentioned there Raekwon McMillan. You think it's a big deal, second team. We know Fitzpatrick was being moved around. What do we think of that?
No, I don't. I'm not concerned about that. He's going to be one of the 11 guys on the field. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to play a lot. The question is where. That secondary, how that shakes out, to me, is one of the more fascinating storylines of this summer because they don't have a lot of pieces that really fit too well. I mean, Xavien Howard would fit on any defense. He's a top five, maybe even top three corner in the NFL right now. But the rest of those guys are kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. And I guess Minkah being able to play a lot of different positions kind of is the guy that gets hurt by that. He can't focus on one because they need him to do so much. But I'm not at all concerned about Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think he is one of their better players. I think he's going to play a lot this year. I think he's going to be better than he was last year. It was funny, guys. He kind of took a not-so-veiled shot at Matt Burke back in the spring, and we all have had our issues with Matt Burke. But he went on the record and said, you know, it was kind of a joke that it'd be Wednesday and Thursday, and I'd have an idea of what I'm doing in the game, and then Friday and Saturday it would change. And I just didn't know. It wasn't like it was a week-to-week thing. It was a day-to-day thing that I didn't know what my role was. You're not going to have that with Patrick Graham and Brian Flores. His role will be clearly defined. It's just going to be a lot of things. They're going to use him in a lot of ways.
I mean, who hasn't had their issues, you know, with Matt Burke? Like, I hear you, man. Before we let you go here, and obviously Dolphin training camp day two about to get underway there in Davie, are you one of the guys falling for the rope-a-dope, which Devontae Parker looked great today in training camp? Are you falling for the rope-a-dope? Are you one of those guys out the tweets?
I do feel a little bit like Charlie Brown chasing down that football and just swinging it and sending it up my butt every single time.
Terrible.
Because, I mean, nobody has crushed Devontae Parker more than we have locally. And for good reason. I mean, the guys didn't seem to take his profession seriously early in his career, and then he didn't seem to be able to stay healthy later on in his career. If he pops this year, we're talking about distressed assets and buying value and all that. Devontae Parker would be the prime example of how that plan works if he pops. If he has, say, even 60 catches and 8 touchdowns or 800 yards, that's a really good season for him.
You should see Zaslow rolling his eyes right now. Zaslow, 10:49 a.m. yesterday, Adam Beasley tweeted out, "The summer of DVP continues. Devontae Parker posterizes Eric Rowe."
I mean, I guarantee you, Adam, this could have been a tape from last year, everything you just said about Devontae Parker.
And that's why, again, I feel a little bit like Charlie Brown. But I will say this, new coach, and more important, new quarterback. And he and Ryan never seem to click. Ryan Fitzpatrick can throw a deep ball pretty good, and he can throw those jump balls that Devontae likes.
How does Fitzpatrick look? Is he Fitzpatrick? How does Fitzpatrick look?
It's crazy. And he's another guy that I don't want to fall for the okey-doke, because we've seen in games he can throw 5 touchdowns and also throw 5 picks the next week. But he's the best quarterback in camp. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
But he looks in shape, like he's slimmed down a little
bit. Physically, aesthetically.
Oh, I'm not going to go towards his waistline. I mean, that's not for me to say.
All right.
Let's just say this. I wouldn't want to have him in that fastest man 40-yard dash race. Okay.
Okay.
I don't think he would have made it out of the qualifying round of that.
Right,
but they're not asking him to be Michael Vick back there. They're just asking him to deliver the football.
Put it on the scroll. Adam Beasley thinks Ryan Fitzpatrick's fat.
Yeah. All right.
I do not endorse that.
Be judicious with your tweets, right? I don't want any Kalen Ballage just a 3-yard run, all right? You're wasting everyone's time with that.
Let me ask you this. What's the tipping point for you guys? How much is too much?
I mean, tell me if something spectacular happens. Like, I don't need to know Mike Gesicki caught a 4-yard out.
I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
Here's what I do. If there's a trend that pops up, if there's a starting lineup change that really surprises me, if there's an injury, that's when I tweet.
There
but
you
the
go.
Play-by-play stuff is overkill.
There you go.
You could save yourself some time and just retweet your tweets from last year about Devontae Parker.
Oh, yeah,
so you don't actually have to formulate a new tweet.
You guys have zero hope that he is going to have a breakthrough season.
We're just tired of hearing it.
Zero hope.
Just so tired of hearing it.
Like,
yeah,
I'd like to be pleasantly surprised, but like, I have zero hope. It's not even on my radar.
No, I hear you, but stranger things have happened. Not many, but some.
All right, Adam. Thanks, man. Get back to work.
All right, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.